Welcome to the Bullpen Report. We're part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Thompson, Red Fox Roto, and it's Saturday, April 4th, so that means it's a Fab Preview Day. Let's have a look at who could be available in some or most leagues that can help us with saves. Now, I wish I could do these episodes on Sundays, as late as possible on Sundays. That would really be ideal. The weekend games have a way of bringing us injuries, weird bullpen usage to sort through. New targets, specs can emerge quickly, or bid ranges can drastically change. Unfortunately, I do have another job that is at its most intense during the baseball season. You know, I work almost every day, including the weekends. So these Saturday mornings are the best time to review the week and do the preview for the free agency bidding. But for any questions that come up after weekend games, I'm on Twitter X at Red Fox Roto. I'm here to help as much as I can to find those save targets. And for all the FTN subscribers out there, get on the Discord with us. You know, it's not just me. It's Vlad Sedler, Mike Mager, Lucas Beery, Joe Arrico, Adam Young. We've got a great roster of people who can help you out. Now, today, the free agent recommendations, that section of the podcast, will actually be brief. I think it's important to dig a bit deeper on some bullpens that are sending us mixed signals and what those might mean for the pitchers involved. Not only who can be added, but who can be dropped. Now, Ryan Stanek was a popular ad last Sunday. After he picked up the first save for the Cardinals, he got another chance, which he was not able to convert. But we have since learned that Riley O'Brien didn't start in the closer role because the team wanted to give him some extra time to work through that calf injury he had had, the one that kept him out of the World Baseball Classic. But O'Brien's been back in the ninth inning in his last two games. He picked up a save in one of them. So Ryan Stanek is not the closer in St. Louis. He can be dropped. Now, there's been a lot of frustration so far for those who drafted Griffin Jacks on the Rays. With Edwin Uceta on the IL with his shoulder injury, there was a chance for Jacks to stake a claim to a large share of the Rays closer committee. And that has not worked out at all. In four games, Jacks has only gotten through two innings. The ERA is 22.5. The WHIP is 3.5. His K minus walk is negative. It's really been bad for Jacks so far. Now, the most common tell for a pitcher injury is a drop in velocity. Jacks is throwing at normal velo across the board. We can't know right now if anything else is going on yet. So in shallower leagues, even a healthy, effective Griffin Jacks wasn't going to be more than the leader of a committee. So he can be dropped if there's a regular closer available on your waiver wire. Drop him for a Jordan Romano, Riley O'Brien, Lucas Ursig. Those aren't guys that are widely available, but that's the tier where I would take those pitchers over Griffin Jacks right now. And in NFBC formats, the 12-teamers, I think Jacks can be dropped for anyone else getting saves. Definitely will mention a few names today that would be possibilities, but I would not yet drop Griffin Jacks for just a pure spec. Now, there are other timeshare pitchers with question marks right now that really shouldn't be dropped unless there's a true closer on the wire you can replace them with. Dennis Santana in Pittsburgh is the first. In his first few appearances, Santana was treated like the closer. He was always the last of the high leverage arms in the game, pitching ninth innings. But Santana's last three appearances have all come in the eighth inning, including yesterday, where he faced the 6-7-8 hitters, two of which were left-handed. So that seemed like a spot where it would have been better to use the left-handed Gregory Soto and leave the tougher Orioles righties at the top of the order for Santana, but that's not what happened. So that kind of usage, it's disappointing. It definitely lowers Dennis Santana's ceiling, but I wouldn't outright drop him yet. He should still get save opportunities. Now, another guy is Abner Uribe on the Brewers. Uribe has only pitched twice so far this season, but his last appearance, it told us a lot. Trevor McGill had pitched on the previous 2 days, and he was being rested, not available, so Uribe should have been the next man up for a save chance, and the Brewers had a late lead, but Uribe pitched in the eighth inning anyway. Now, he got the Rays 1-2-3 hitters that were due up. It was definitely a high-leverage moment, but Uribe was not saved for the ninth inning with McGill unavailable. So that's definitely not a great sign for his fantasy value. I would drop Uribe for a pitcher who is getting saves for their team right now. Now, another pitcher with usage concerns is Ryan Walker in San Francisco. There was a short window in draft season where some more secure closers had risen up the draft board, like Daniel Palencia, Kenley Jansen were a couple. People got a little more confident in them. This had left Walker on this island kind of by himself around pick, about 150 at the time. I thought he had value as a second closer at that point. But by late March, even Ryan Walker's price had risen closer to pick 100, top 100 in some main events. That was way too high, and we just saw why. In his last appearance, Ryan Walker replaced Robbie Ray to finish the sixth inning. Now, it turns out this was planned by Joe Vitello and the Giants staff. They liked the completely different release point of Ryan Walker versus the left-handed Robbie Ray. But it's bad news for those with Ryan Walker. Joe Vitello was an unconventional managerial hire. He came directly from the college ranks. He had no professional experience. So that made him a wild card for bullpen management. He had no particular loyalties to anyone on the Giants. And it looks like he could be a frustrating manager for fantasy purposes if he'll use his closer in the sixth because of release points. Like Dennis Santana, this usage lowers the ceiling of Ryan Walker, but I still believe he is the favorite to lead the Giants in saves. I wouldn't reactively drop him yet, you know, until we see more from Vitello and what Walker's role really is. But this does put some speculative ads in play from the Giants, though. But lastly, let's talk about Chris Martin in Texas. I was never on board the Martin train. He's old. He's pitching through thoracic outlet symptoms. Anybody in the saves mix for their team should be rostered. So Martin was worth drafting late in draft season or adding early in the season. But the results have not been good so far. Martin has allowed multiple earned runs in each of his last 2 games. He has a blown save, took a loss last night, hasn't actually saved a game yet. Now, he has pitched in the ninth inning 3 times against once in the eighth inning, but I wouldn't mind moving on from Martin for a better option. You know, Robert Garcia in Texas has pitched once in the eighth inning and twice in the ninth. So he and Martin have been used as the late inning, you know, closers, but I do prefer the long-term outlook of Garcia between the two of them. All right, now we will finish up with the actual free agency recommendations. So I did say this part would be brief, so I'll move quickly through them. And as usual, the roster rates come from the NFBC's online championship contest. So here we go. Paul Sewald, Jordan Romano, Lucas Erceg, they are all up to 100% rostered in OCs. So if they are available on other platforms, grab them where they can be added. They're all reasonably secure in their roles for the short term. And you know, they do have some longer term possibilities. Riley O'Brien of the Cardinals is available in 17% of leagues and should not be anymore. He's back in the ninth, and he does need to be rostered. Gregory Soto of the Pirates is available in 85% of leagues. He's definitely in a timeshare for the Pirates. He won't save 30 by season's end, not even 20, but he needs to be on more rosters than he is right now. He's got 11 strikeouts against two walks in 5 1/3 innings. It's a really nice start. So ride it while you can as your maybe second closer, your third closer, kind of that 2.5, that closer 2.5 is really the spot where I think he's kind of an ideal roster addition. Now, Robert Garcia from Texas is out there in only 3% of leagues, but he should be owned in the few places where he's not. So I did already talk about why I don't really trust Chris Martin as much there in Texas. Cole Sands in Minnesota, only available in 4% of leagues, so not available many places. Now, Sands pitched in the eighth in his last appearance. We know he's not the full-time closer in Minnesota, but he is the best bet in a weak bullpen, so he can be added where needed. Now, we do have a few solid speculative plays as well this week. So given that Ryan Walker situation in San Francisco, Keaton Wynn is a deeper save spec. Wynn has moved from the sixth inning to the seventh, and his last appearance was a hold in the eighth inning. Wynn has ramped up his splitter usage as a reliever. He's really looked fantastic so far, but it's only been three innings. Now, some people are pushing Caleb Killian as a spec in San Francisco. I don't see it. Killian's three appearances this year have all come while the team was losing. Including just last night, he got the last out of the game down by 7. So Keaton Wynn is my spec choice for the Giants. Edwin Uceta can be added where a roster spot is available for him. Yeah, he's still on the injured list, but he's making his way back and could be back here early in April. The Rays bullpen will probably be messy all year, but there's a possible battle brewing for that top spot in the committee. And Uceta is certainly talented enough when he returns to be the one to get it. Brian Baker, currently healthy, does also qualify as a spec there in Tampa until Uceta is back. And my last spec ad for the day would be Jonathan Loaisiga of the Diamondbacks. Paul Sewald is relatively secure there for as long as he pitches well enough to hold the job. But there are some worries with Sewald. He was very interesting while he had his velo back to around 92, 93. But in Sewald's appearance last night, he only threw 4 fastballs. One was higher than 90.5 miles per hour. And he gave up 2 home runs, maybe as a result of that lower velo. So Loaisiga has a save already in a game where Sewald was not available. And I think he's emerging as a legitimate late inning option there in Arizona. So that does it for this free agency preview episode. Now, as always, pay attention to the news. Things that happen over the weekend can change who we bid on or how much. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, you can catch me on Twitter, X, at Red Fox Roto. If you're an FTN subscriber, hit us up on the Discord. I'll address any reliever questions I can. So good luck in your bidding. I'll be back, of course, early next week on Tuesday. Until then, this has been the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Let's close it out.